Hello and welcome to Heartland Hypnosis Radio. I'm your host, Ray Lytle. My guest today, I'm so excited. We're going to get a chance to talk to Jeff Richards, who I've interviewed before for Heartland Hypnosis Radio, and he is just one of the funniest people. He's entertaining, engaging, and I'm excited about his presentations at Heartland Hypnosis this year because Heartland Hypnosis Conference, he's going to teach all of you how to write a book. That's what Jeff is doing this year, and I just find it fascinating. We welcome to the show. It is Mr. Jeff Richards joining me on Heartland Hypnosis Radio. My name is Ray Lytle. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing really good, Ray, and I'm really hoping this works right now. For those of you at home who don't know this, it's not Ray's fault, it's me. I have been having some technical issues here on my end, but I think we've got it ironed out now. I'm hoping, yes. I think it's really important these days that if you're a hypnotist or a coach or just anybody in the, as they say, the personal development space, if you have a book, you are perceived as a lot more credible. Everybody has a book these days. Just go to Amazon and start looking. Do a search for hypnosis or coaching or anything that really comes to mind, and you are going to find a whole bunch of books because it's become so much easier to create a book and get it out to the public where they can actually find it. You know, I think it's the number three search engine right now isn't a search engine at all. It's Amazon.
Yeah.
You can go to Amazon to look for stuff.
And when you're dealing with people and you're helping them with their problems, it makes you more credible. And yes. And also, it's a resource you can use when you're helping people with their problems. It is a resource of if you want more information, you can get my book. I think it's a great idea. You've written your book, right? I mean, this is something you learned this by doing.
I learned this by doing this for other people.
Mm-hmm.
My book is actually in progress. I'm doing this as a proof of concept. You should probably see my book up on Amazon in about 2 weeks. And I'm still playing around with the title, but the concept is hypnosis as a real world sort of frontline strategy for problem solving, because I think that that's an issue that really needs to be addressed. There is somebody else that I'm working with a book on right now. I'm going to leave it to him to announce that, but I'm working with somebody else right now on his book that he's been wanting to write for years. And we started doing the organizational steps on that 3 or 4 days ago, I think it was.
They're saying that you're getting some echo through your phone on the video feed, if you can fix that. Audio feed's fine, and on the podcast, you guys will hear it perfectly. We'll turn down Jeff's mic on that end. But at Heartland,
that's better.
At Heartland, you're going to be teaching people how to write a book, and you're doing it it's not just one class.
Right. We're doing three classes.
Right.
We're doing two during the conference, and these are free. Or they're part, you get them as part of your conference price. And we're going to be talking about basic book writing strategies to get a book written a lot faster than you think you can. And also some strategies on developing your book and getting it in front of the right people's eyeballs.
Which you've got to make sure that someone is, you know, anybody can write a book, but you want to make sure people are interested in reading it. Let's face it.
Right. Now, here's the thing, and I guess this is kind of an unfortunate statistic, but it works in our favor. A lot of books that people buy go unread. It's sad, but it's true. And I'm certainly not saying that you should be writing a book with the intention of nobody reading it, but what I am saying is that I've got a great story to tell. If we've got some time, I'll tell it. But there's this sense among folks who have never written anything of any length that writing a book is something that only authors do. Well, by definition, if you write a book, then you're one of them.
Yeah, then you're an author.
So, yeah, and it's so much easier these days. People are still thinking, well, gosh, how do I get picked up by a publisher? The answer to that is you don't. You don't want to. About 10 years ago, a friend of mine wrote a book, and he got it picked up by, I won't name names, but one of the largest publishers of books in the New Age category. And they didn't work with him a whole lot. They helped him with some really basic stuff like copy editing and some organizational type things, organizing his thoughts. But he'd really already written a book. He'd self-published it. And they helped him polish it a little bit. They changed the title. They hired somebody to give him a fancy schmancy cover, which you can do for about $12. And then they stuck it in their list of new releases. And that was about what they did for him in terms of getting the book sold.
But it cost him a bunch of money, I imagine. Or in the long run, it cost him money going with them as compared to self-publishing.
He certainly left money on the table. I mean, it's not like he was out of pocket, but he had to do all the marketing himself. He got himself on a bunch of podcasts, and he got himself in front of the right people. He was already attending the right conferences. But he was making on this book, which I think list price was $27, and I think Amazon was selling it for, $18, $19. He got $1 per book.
Wow.
Now, when you self-publish, you can set your own price. And since you're split with, let's just say Amazon, because that's who is the number one book retailer these days, your split is a whole lot better.
You're getting more than $1 a book.
You're getting more than $1 a book. You're also putting more of your money in up front,
right,
but you're putting in as much as you choose to. There are some books out there that are, in terms of content, excellent. That, in terms of literature, are needing some help. And the covers aren't pretty at all. The cover looks like something that somebody hacked it together in a publisher. He probably did. I know the guy. But the books are pretty good. In fact, I won't say who it is, but if you go to Amazon and look for some of the reviews I wrote, if you can find a review that I wrote where I said, I wish I had written this book, and I meant it, then you'll know what book it is. But this guy has been publishing his own books from the get-go. Back before there was Amazon, he was selling them through his own website, and now he's selling them through Amazon. And he's not charging anything like $27 per book, and he's able to keep most of the money. I think that my friend who published the book through the big name New Age publisher, I don't know if he wishes that he had held on for a few years until Amazon really got their self-publishing division rolling, but I know for sure the next time he writes a book, that's the way he's going to go. And anybody who is a hypnotist, a coach, anybody in this personal development space, as they say, unless you're already well-known, unless you've already got a hookup with Ellen or Oprah or Dr. Oz or somebody like that, you're much better off going alone, or mostly alone, not going with a publisher. You're going to be able to set your own price. I mean, think about this for a second. This guy had, at one point, the number one book in his category on Amazon. Now, that gets updated every hour, but which is why there's a whole lot of books out there claiming that they're the number one Amazon bestseller, because they were for an hour. That's all it takes. He would have sold a whole lot more books if that book had been $7.50.
Right.
He would have kept way more than $1 a book. So let's say he would have kept, and I don't know what the actual split is on $7.50, but let's say that he would have kept $4. Let's say that he would sell three times as many books. He wouldn't have blown most of his book money on a dinner at Ruth's Chris, which is kind of what happened when the book came out. It was a really good dinner. I went.
If you're doing your own promotion, as if, you know, if the publisher didn't do any promotion for you, then it seems self-publishing would have made more sense, because you do your own promotion for self-publishing as well.
Exactly. The difference is that the mechanism for doing your own book today is much better, much simpler, and I don't think I can do better than better and simpler than it was 10, or maybe it was even 15 years ago. It was a while ago that he did this. So these days, it's really simple. There are templates that you can upload. You don't even have to format the thing right. There's some things you have to know. There are some people out there who have written some books. They've done them on Amazon. They've had some problems because they weren't very good at Microsoft Word, which is what they were doing the thing in. And they wound up uploading them as a PDF, which is fine. You can do that in the Amazon engine. The problem is that you lose some of the functionality you get if you have a book that is Kindle format. Mm-hmm. You know, you can, you know, you go like this on your page and it doesn't just blow up the page. It blows up the type. On a PDF, you go like that and it blows up the page and you've got to be surfing around your page in order to be able to read everything. So that's one of the things also we're going to be covering in the class.
You're
so
going to teach people
in the conference, and then we've got post-conference, which is going to be a lot of fun. That is a separate class where we really get into the nitty-gritty. We work on your particular book. We spend a lot of time developing ideas, concepts, making sure that you've got something that you are going to finish and you are going to upload it to Amazon. And there's also going to be some opportunities for folks to join a very, very inexpensive mastermind group so that we can continue working moving forward. And I know that there are some people who have already made their plans for post-conference. And again, my fault. I took a little time really getting this the way I wanted it to be in terms of what content I wanted, how I wanted to do it. And so if you want to do this, but you've already made plans that's going to preclude you from staying for post-conference, I am going to be working with a few people on Friday night and Sunday night, privately. If people are interested in doing private coaching, they can contact me for rates and availability on that. I've taken a suite for the entire week, and so we'll have plenty of room to work on these things.
It is when William first told me what you were doing, he said, "Boy, Jeff Richards has a really interesting idea. It's regular classes, and then he's going to tie a post conference to it." And I thought, "Well, this is really fascinating." And it's basically you'll write your book, you'll learn everything you need to know in writing it, to where you can leave Heartland Hypnosis Conference with a book, with something you're ready to self publish.
Depending on the length of the book, absolutely.
Yeah. It is, at the very least, you'll have your outline and you just fill in your thoughts.
Oh, yeah. Have your outline. You will know the voice that you're going to be using as you write these things. This is a problem that a lot of folks have. They think they need to sound like a college textbook when they write their book. And if that's the audience that you're writing for, then yeah, maybe you should sound like that. But if you're writing a book for other hypnotists, think about the hypnotist that you've met. Is that the way they talk? Is that the thing that you think they expect? The answer to those questions should be no. And once you realize that, it's like, okay, maybe I can make this a little bit more conversational, a little bit more accessible. And if you're writing a book for the general public, and that's not something that a lot of folks do. Most of the hypnosis books that I run across, especially at conferences, are written for other hypnotists.
Yeah, for other hypnotists, to where you're talking shop or how you help people and how they can help people and so on and so forth.
And that's great if that's what you want to do, but I'll just say this. I don't know how many hypnotists there are in the English-speaking world, but I know there are more people who are not hypnotists than there are people who are hypnotists. And that might be a better market to go after. The book that you're going to leave the conference with is probably not going to make you a millionaire just off book sales. But that book is going to be your introduction to a lot of new markets. I mean, if you want a speaking gig, you're expected to have a book. If you are going to get on media beyond, beyond the podcast, really, and even some podcasts, the big ones.
Well, as
you need to have a book
for a living. For a living, I host a morning radio show,
right?
And it's a talk show, and you know, listen, we don't take everybody who has a book. You don't have, there's no room.
Sure.
But if someone has an interesting book and they can convince me, like, hey, read the first chapter and see if it's somebody, see if you might want to talk to me. And they tell a story. If there's something weaved into where I read it and I think, you know, this person is fascinating or this is interesting or whatever, if it catches my attention, you're going to get the interview. And let's face it, when it comes to publicity, that's what it's about. It's about somehow catching someone and garnering an interest in your work, and then you get to promote it. That's when I get people who try me to or try to talk me into interviewing them, and they say read the first chapter, and the first chapter is boring. There's no way. There's just if it's the good parts of the second chapter, you should have told me to read two chapters. You know what I mean? It's like there's no way you're going to get on the show if it doesn't interest me. You know.
Well,
right,
and
during what you tell me to
really
read.
Good point here, because you're talking about people who have interesting books and people who have not interesting books. You haven't said, what about the people who don't have a book?
Yeah.
Do they get on the show? I mean, maybe sometimes.
Yes. Sometimes. I mean, just as guests. Like, for example, I'll give you an example. You know, William Mitchell, who puts together Heartland Hypnosis Conference. William has been on my show several times just because as a hypnotist, he's interesting. He has but he has a story to tell. You know, William's story.
He does.
He's a minister. He knows so much about hypnosis, and can explain everything. You know, I ask him. I say, "How does it work?" And he can give an explanation, and it's interesting to the listeners and stuff. So yeah, he gets on. But for the most part, you need someone has to have a story to tell in order to do a radio interview, and it's got to be somebody interesting. And usually having that book is what's interesting.
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be, you know, a big, thick, you know, the complete history of hypnosis. It doesn't have to be War and Peace. It can be
looking to interview. Not looking to interview Tolstoy.
This piece of the topic.
Yeah.
Because, again, not only has the book publishing model changed, but what constitutes a book has changed. Now, I'm not talking about writing one of these, like, little 25-page, you know.
Yeah, you're not talking a pamphlet.
Guide to somebody else's book, which could be a good moneymaker.
Right.
But, no, it's going to be something worth reading. It's going to be something that's going to get your name out there. It's going to get your face out there. It is going to establish the writer as an expert.
So how much – in what class – because you're teaching, what, two normal classes – the days, Friday, give me the days that the regular classes are.
Friday and Sunday.
And then you'll do the post-conference, on the Monday.
Right.
But like you said, you'll do private coaching on Friday and Saturday night, if you need to, Sunday night, whatever.
At the mastermind group afterwards for anybody, no matter if you just took, you know, the classes in the conference, that's great. If you took the post-conference class, that's even better. But if you just couldn't swing that for whatever reason, you're still eligible for the mastermind group, and we can talk about what that entails.
So is it in the first class? Is that when you talk about, listen, let's discuss what your book's going to be about. Let's try to figure out what you can share.
Is
that how it works?
It's only going to be 50 minutes.
Okay.
So I'm not going to be able to do a whole lot of interactive stuff. I'm going to explain, for the people who haven't figured it out from what we're doing here right now, why you need a book.
Right.
Why you do not need to be an English professor to write a book. And what you can do to streamline the book writing process. Because once you figure out what your book's about, who's going to read it, and what it's going to do for you, the author, because if it's not going to do anything for you, there's no point in writing it, really. Things get a whole lot simpler. And then we get into the process, which is so incredibly easy. Again, technology has made things so much simpler,
except for doing interviews on Facebook Live.
Except for the first half hour of our little experiment here this yes. afternoon.
And I'm sure, by the way, I'm sure there's a big echo still. We're trying. This is the first time I've done Heartland Hypnosis Radio. This is the first time I've done it where we tried to video as well. And I'm sure there's probably something going on.
Two different devices here. I apologize.
By the way, I tried to really dumb it down and make it easy, and sorry about that. It's fascinating, though. We live in this time where you're allowed to do such things, and to teach everyone how to do it, I think, is fascinating. And that's what you're going to be doing at Heartland Hypnosis Conference. What, by the way, it's not that much. The post-conference cost isn't that expensive. What is it? What is it costing?
That's a darn good question, and I should probably have an answer
to
that. We changed it a couple of times.
That's right.
And so let me just
let Jeff go look it up just to make sure.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Here's an important thing that people should know if they haven't already got a website, and by God, you really should have a website by now. If you don't have a website, get a URL with the shortest possible name, so that if you've got some poor schmuck who's typing it in one-handed, they can get it right the first time. Well, you're talking to a guy whose primary website is OhioHypnosisCenter.com. And my email address is jrichards@OhioHypnosisCenter.com. And if you've ever had to try to fill out one of those itty-bitty little blanks with a pen.
There's not a lot of space in there.
What's your email address? Well, which half of it do you want?
Can I point out that the website you're typing in now is HeartlandHypnosisConference.com.
Yes.
But, I mean, listen, in defense of HeartlandHypnosisConference.com, what else are you going to call it? There's, what else could you call that webpage? That's what it is. It's the Heartland Hypnosis Conference.
Yes. And, like I said, we did this, we changed this a couple of times.
Yeah.
So it is, in fact, a 2-day post-conference class.
Okay.
And it's $397 American dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Or slightly more Canadian dollars. I'm flexible like that.
Or
exchange rate, Canada to U.S. is about a buck Canadian to 75 cents American. Yes, I did look that up.
I'm glad you had time to Google that.
No, I did that a couple of days ago. One of my best friends is an NLP trainer, and he's 95% retired these days. But every couple of years, he'll do a conference, and he's got one coming up. I wanted to see what it was really going to cost me. So,
hey, let me ask you, how many years is this for you coming to Heartland?
This is, that's a good question. I think this is going to be year number 4 or 5 coming to Heartland.
Wow.
And it's such a great conference. I love coming to Heartland because it's, a couple of years ago, somebody called it the little conference that could. And it's grown beyond that. It really has.
Yeah. It's, this year we've got people from all over the world. It really is. The selection of people coming in is fascinating. You've got people from everywhere, from Europe, from Australia, from, of course, from the United States, from Canada, all throughout North America, South America. People are coming from everywhere to be part of Heartland Hypnosis Conference. This little hypnosis conference in St. Louis has grown so much. And so this year, I want to ask, you will not be doing any stage show on Saturday night, or are you still planning on doing one?
The last time when William and I talked, I will be doing a show.
Okay.
And that's all I know about it.
So you're going to be really busy. I mean, this conference, you're going to be busy. You're teaching classes Friday and Sunday, private instruction Friday and Sunday night, and then you're going to be doing an after prom or something Saturday night. So it's really – you're not going to get much sleep, Mr. Richards.
No, that's just kind of a given with Heartland. It's one of the few things that I learned in college that I still use today is how to go on very little sleep. And that's just the way we roll. Mainline and espresso, driving down the highway, coming back from wherever we are in, central Illinois, or please not Iowa. Not that there's anything wrong with Iowa. Iowa's nice, but maybe you could give that show to Josh. Like Josh. Josh likes to drive. He's a young guy. He can bounce back a lot more than I can.
Anyone, any stage hypnosis or any stage hypnotist who come to Heartland Hypnosis Conference, William Mitchell, he books post-proms all over the Midwest.
All over the place. place. Yeah.
And so stage hypnotists who come into Heartland Hypnosis Conference, not only do you get to participate in this great conference and teach classes, but you will do a post-prom show that night as well. And you're right. Sometimes they drive down in Missouri, in Iowa, Indiana, all throughout Illinois. It is amazing, but they do it every year, and it's a blast. Hey, I know I've asked you this before, but let's for the new audience, let's talk about when you first got into hypnosis. What motivated you?
Oh, yeah, we have talked about this. Yeah, I got a bad job review. I was working for an industry membership organization, you know, like this isn't who I worked for, but, you know, like the Sheet Metal Society of America, let's say. That's not who it was, but like that.
Okay.
And I was in their publications department, which is how roundabout we got to this class that we're talking
about. Right, yeah.
But my boss was pretty new, and he had just hired me, and then he got his review, and he was told that he had poor communication skills. Well, gosh, that couldn't have been his fault. It must have been our fault. So when he got around to reviewing each of us, he said, you guys have poor communication skills. You need to go take a class. And I took this to heart. Wow. I was basically told that I needed to take a class on how not to be a jerk. Yeah. And, you know, I had issues and whatnot. And so I thought, okay, I guess I need to take a class on how not to be a jerk. So I started researching this stuff, and I came across this fantastic class. I didn't know it was fantastic. It sounded fantastic. Up in Wisconsin, like, I forget whether it was an hour or 100 miles. It was a long way north of Milwaukee. And my boss actually wound up getting fired for having poor communication skills. And it was worse than that. They fired the poor guy in January, and then they said, but we want you to stick around until your replacement can start.
Oh, that's horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Dead man walking.
You know, I know, like, in your world, you know, they fire you and say, yeah, clean out your desk. That was your last show today. Yeah. Someone's going to escort you out of the building. But that's almost kinder than what they did to this guy.
Yeah, it's at least in my business, they pay off the rest of the contract and things like that. They might not talk about you, but at least they pay off. To tell you you're fired, but you still got to work a few more months, that just seems seems cruel.
You're fired, and you have no, you know, you've got no power, you've got no authority, you got nothing. You just keep your head down and do your job.
And you have to look for another job while telling people, well, currently I'm fired. But yeah. I'm still working. Yeah, it's got to be brutal. So you went there and
I went there. It was great. This was my first exposure to neurolinguistic programming.
Okay.
I think I had heard about it a few years before, but I'd never really done any research on it. And I came to a couple of really quick decisions. The first decision was, I'm learning a lot of really good stuff. And I also realized the instructor was having a great time. Here he is. He's teaching all these people who want to be there, who are, they have their life sufficiently together. You know, they can go through doorways and around corners, and they got that down. So they wanted to be there, with the exception of this one guy who was there because his girlfriend wanted him to be there. And probably at that particular point in my life, those were the two most important things, although this third thing was also kind of important. I knew what the class cost. I knew how many people were in the room, and I can do math. So I knew that this guy was making bank, and this was not his flagship course.
No wonder he was so happy, by the way.
Yes, absolutely. You've got a room full of people who are interested in what you're doing, and they are willing to pay you a fairly significant amount of money to do it. I mean, even by today's standards, and this was close to 20 years ago, it was not inexpensive. I've been to 3-day classes that were pretty good, that were nowhere near that much money. And I decided I want his job. So at the time, NLP training was a lot longer form than it is now. There's different stories behind why that is. But if you want real live, honest to goodness NLP training, you're not going to get a real practitioner certification that's worth anything through Udemy. You're not going to get a practitioner certification that's worth anything in 1 or 2 days. The Society of NLP and the International Certification Board of Clinical Hypnotherapists, who is who I train through, their classes are considerably more involved and sometimes involve a split classroom and online experience. So I ultimately, and this is the short version. Back then it was like 21 days.
Oh, wow.
Contiguous. Yeah, you had to take off 3 weeks and pay for it and pay for being at the class.
Well, it's like I look at like William. We talk about William Mitchell. William does an NGH class prior to Heartland Hypnosis. And I think it's what? Six, seven days, whatever, or at least I think when you combine everything, it's 6, 7 days. And that seems like a lot. You're saying when you learned it was 21 days?
Well, when I first looked into it, it was 21
days. Okay.
I could, actually, the place that I worked, they didn't pay a whole lot, but they had great benefits and they had a pretty good liberal vacation policy. So I had the time. Mm-hmm. I would have had to burn all of my vacation for that year, but I couldn't afford it. And then I changed jobs. I had a lot more money. I could afford it, but I didn't have the vacation time because I was starting from scratch. And then that guy went out of business. He worked with a lot of people. You know, we were talking about how Heartland has people coming in from all over the world.
Sure.
And this guy had people coming in all over the world from his programs too. The 3-day class that I was in, the head of human resources for the Kuwait National Airlines.
Oh, wow.
Was in that class. Oh, yeah. And there was a mechanical engineer who was very hotsy-totsy into robotics, an American guy, but he lived in Japan. And he came over from Japan for this class. And there were people, and there were people right up the road, practically Rex's backyard. That's his name, Rex Steven Sykes. He's still around. His stuff's really good. Check it out. I believe in giving credit where credit is due. Yeah. I did not create any, well, a couple of things I created. But everything I do is because I learned it from William. I learned it from Salish. I learned it from Rich Guzzi. I learned it from Rex Sykes. I learned it from Steve Boyle. I learned it from Jonathan Altfeld. I learned it from David Snyder. I learned it from a lot of people.
But you were first introduced to it in that, you were first introduced to stuff in that class.
Yeah.
And what did you, when you first, when you did a rapid induction on someone, or when you first were able to help somebody,
that's an amazing feeling.
Yeah, what does that feel like? Because as I think some of you guys know that, although I'm fascinated by hypnotism, I don't know how to do it. William has told me, I'll teach you, but I'm fascinated by watching you guys do what you do, and the way you help people. And me, I mean, I had a fear of elevators, hypnosis has helped a lot. It's amazing the way that you help make people's lives better. That has to feel special when you first, when you first do it.
It really does. And, you know, I'll tell you, I mentioned that I was looking into NLP originally and I couldn't really swing the training, but what I could do, because NLP is, despite what people think, it's really about modeling excellence.
Right.
And the first groups of people that they had to model happened to be counselors and therapists. And this one particular man, Milton Erickson, who was a psychiatrist, but he practiced hypnosis. And so hypnosis and NLP, as it's taught mostly today, are kind of cousins, which is how I got into studying hypnosis. And not having anything to compare it to, I didn't know that the first hypnosis class that I took was crap. Yeah, so I was doing hypnosis for a couple years before I actually had that major, wow, this person came in with a problem that was really hurting their life, and they walked out of my office, and things are radically different. But when that happened, that was this, holy crap, this really works, moment for me. And even to this day, you know, people, they're 1-2-pack-a-day smokers, and I do a 3-session stop smoking program. Not everybody does. I do. And people come in for session 2 and they say, yeah, it's great. I haven't had a cigarette. I haven't wanted a cigarette. Every time I see somebody smoking, I'm just so grateful that I don't do that anymore. And I think of all the things in my life that are better already right now because I quit smoking. And I smoked for 20 years. I was serious about it. I rolled my
own. Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it was, I say it was tough to quit. It wasn't tough to quit. It was easy to quit. I must have quit 30, 40 times. It was easy to quit. It's hard to stay quit. And these people have tried everything before they call me. Nobody calls the hypnotist first. Almost no. They try the patches. They try the lozenges. They try vaping. They try all sorts of things before they finally wind up calling me. And for some people, those things work. Those people don't call me. I mean, why would they? You know, hey, Jeff, I just wanted to let you know I tried the nicotine patch and I quit smoking. Bye. No one calls me. And I'm glad they don't, because that would be a waste of both our times. But instead, I do get these folks who they have tried everything. And the hardest part of my job at that point is to let them know that their problem can be solved.
Yeah.
There was, and I'm going to screw up who it was, because I hadn't planned on talking about this. Elsa Meldridge, I believe, was his name, a gentleman who passed away last year. And he coined the phrase, hope is realistic, with either he or Kelly Woods came up with that. They worked together. Hope is realistic. And I think that that's a message that if I can get that into my client's head and make them really believe that, the rest of my job is so much easier. But yeah, it's a great feeling. You know, they come back in. Oh yeah, I don't want to smoke. They come back in.
You know,
I'm sleeping through the night. I'm not afraid to babysit kids and not be in constant contact with my parents. Yeah, I am not afraid of these crazy little lizards that walk on two legs down in Florida. That was an actual thing. I didn't know there was such a thing as a lizard that like walked around on hind legs like a gecko. But there is.
Hey, what about the clinical end of it, we know you have a successful business in Ohio and helping people with problems, whether it be eating, smoking. What about stage hypnotism? When did you get into the stage end of it?
I got into the stage end of it maybe 3 years ago, and I have William to thank for that. I was looking back on sort of how I got into this business, and I was really looking forward to doing more trainings, like the one that I first took that really kindled this fire, and that required that I get my face in front of a lot more people than what I was currently seeing, and I thought a good way to do that would be stage shows. So I reached out to the person who I knew was doing more stage training than anybody else I knew. It was William Mitchell, and he said, yeah, come on out to Heartland. We've got Salish Jawan teaching this year, and we're going to hook you up, and you're going to have a show. And yeah, I had a show. I finished my training on like a Monday or Tuesday. I drove home. I was back out there that Friday or Saturday doing a show. Now, was it a great show? No.
I guess it's the only way to do it is to just do it.
Yeah. So, you know, it wasn't a great show, but and I remember this very clearly, William likes to have you check in with him after you do a show that he hooks you up with. And so I called him up as I was leaving there, and he said, well, how'd it go? I was like, well, nobody died. But it had some really good moments, had some technical issues. I had not used that particular PA and that kind of a configuration before. I was having a lot of feedback problems. But if the background here looks a little funky, we're actually in my recording studio here at home. But as I know that you know, studio sound and live sound are really different.
Yeah.
And I'm good at this. I'm not good at live sound. I'm not.
I tell you, every time I talk to you, I just, you know, you're a funny guy. You're an entertaining guy. So I can imagine your stage show is that everyone loves it. You're one of the best.
It just got better. It just got a lot better. Rich Guzzi, who we talked about before.
Sure, yeah. Rich trains as well for stage. He, by the way, I was talking to somebody who's got great stuff coming up at Heartland. Rich Guzzi has 3 fantastic classes at Heartland Hypnosis Conference. That if you are a stage hypnotist, you please write those down. You do not want to miss his classes at Heartland.
No, you don't. In fact, I would say that if your choice was between taking my class and taking his class, take my class because he teaches his class other places. But if you already have a book, or if you don't want to have a book for some bizarre reason, I could hypnotize you to fix that. But Rich is fantastic. Rich just finished up back in January this huge class. Rich has this wonderful training facility at his home in Tennessee, It's a phenomenal experience training with Rich. He takes care of you. He is your host. And I, never before have I gotten a call a week before I go to a training saying, hey, we're stocking the fridge. What do you like to drink?
That's awesome.
Really? Yeah. And, you know, your meals are taken care of for you. You got food allergies. You're a vegetarian. You're lacto-ovo-vegan, whatever it is that you're doing. They'll take care of you. But, Rich was doing this fantastic class where he brought in, I think there were 10 students, and he brought in 10 touring stand-up comedians to work with the hypnotists to teach us how to be funny, because everybody thinks they're funny. Almost everybody. There's this one guy who is an amazing storyteller. And I won't embarrass him by saying his name, but he's not funny. He knows he's not funny. He was telling the story. He had everybody on the edge of their seat. And then I don't know if you're familiar with improv and the term dropping the cow.
Yes.
But that's what happened. And the story just ended.
That's the story. Yes, I have radio. I have radio callers like that.
Okay.
Like they call with a great call and you get to the punchline and there's no punchline. It's just, okay, thanks. And they hang up. I'm hoping to have, you know, I want to have Rich on the Heartland Hypnosis Radio. I'd love to have Michael DeShout. Michael's another one.
Oh, yeah. He's
fantastic. Michael was great last year. I'm going to have him on this year. And Salish, I wanted to have Salish on last year. Couldn't get it done. I'm definitely going to get Salish on this year to do one of these podcast episodes as well, because
he's just so busy.
Yeah. He's constantly touring.
But he's one of, you know, the thing about stage hypnotists that I've just discovered is that they tend to be just so incredibly generous.
Mm-hmm.
Salish was doing a college show just literally 15 minutes up the road from me a couple of years ago. And he invited me to come and be his guest there. And after the show, he spent hours with me talking about the business, about a couple of special projects that I wanted to work on. And he had to get up at like 6 or 7 the next morning and catch a plane.
But he still found time to spend with you, and I'm sure you guys got something to eat. And yeah,
you know, absolutely. I mean, Rich is like my big brother, and I can call Rich with anything. And I know that he'll, you know, answer and have a, you know, give it some serious consideration. Jim Wan, man.
Yeah, Jim's great. Yeah.
I had a problem with my show. I was trying to do something a little different. It wasn't working. I was having this conversation with William. Jim happened to overhear the conversation. He was doing the show for the Heartland Conference that night, and about an hour from the conversation he heard, on the fly, Jim reworked the front part of his show to show me how to do what I was trying to do and make it work.
Wow.
I have never met a more generous group of people than the stage hypnosis community. I am so blessed that I am a part of this, and that, you know, I mean, there's, you know, exceptions to every rule, but I have been so blessed that the people that I have met, the people that I've had a chance to work with, have been just so amazingly welcoming to, you know, hi, I'm brand new. I don't know what the heck I'm doing, but I've been, you know, doing the clinical stuff for forever. Okay, great. This is how you're going to change everything that you're doing to make this funny.
Harlan, there's, you know, everybody says there's nothing like Harlan Hypnosis Conference. And I think that, you know, you're living proof. There's four different tracks. You've got your clinical track. You've got your stage track, which we've talked about, you know, at the end of this interview. You've got your business track, which is great, because if you're setting up a business to help people, there are things you're going to need to know. That's what has worked out in that track. And then the metaphysical track, which, by the way, super strong this year, metaphysical track. Jeff, you know, I'm fascinated by hypnotism, but you're just fun. And I think there's a reason you have a successful practice, is because you are entertaining and empathic. I mean, I could tell you care about the people you help. And
I really do.
Yeah. And I think that's important. I hope everyone remembers that. I look forward to, I'd love to work with you. Maybe I got a book in me. I think all of us probably have a book in us somewhere, and people should at least try it and come take your classes at Heartland Hypnosis Conference. It's the end of April, April 26th, 27th, 28th in St. Louis. You can take two classes and a post-conference and learn to self-publish your book from Jeff Richards. He's been my guest today. And Jeff, as always, it's fantastic to talk to you. Thank you for being part of Heartland Hypnosis Radio.
Thank you very much for having me on. I'm glad we got this to work. And well, once everything started working, I really enjoyed it.
We know the podcast worked. I don't know if the video worked or not, but I guess we'll find out. It's been a pleasure talking to you, my man.
All right, Ray. Likewise. Thank you.
This has been Heartland Hypnosis Radio. Thank you so much. I'm Ray Lytle, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye, Jeff.
All right.